Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmania Devin here, and I am so pumped for this one today. We got the Breakthrough Academy coming in to learn all about. I've been blown away by this crew led by Danny Kerr. And I love when we get to bring the leaders of these organizations come in. And what we want to convey to you is he's a down-to-earth entrepreneur that's going to tell his journey of this entrepreneurial journey in this contracting space, what led him to starting Breakthrough Academy. And how this is going to benefit you is that he speaks to the reality of perseverance, sticking to your values, and the long-term payout versus those short-term successes and hype. And so today I have the pleasure of bringing in Danny Kerr, who is the Director of Assessment and the co-founder and managing partner of the Breakthrough Academy out of Canada. Go Canada. We got a big tribe out there in Canada, and we're pumped for that. So without further ado, we're going to let Danny tell his version of the story and what the Breakthrough Academy is all about. We're going to talk about how taming the chaos within your business to go out and crush it. So here we go. Without further ado, let's go in and have a fireside chat with Danny Kerr of the Breakthrough Academy. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
Alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
We like both. What we get after it in the morning, after, you know, before you go out on your raft trips, we're going to learn about and all those fun things. And then also when you get out of the water, right?
Yeah, I'd say alcoholic would be just like plain old rum and Coke, like Captain Morgan's spiced rum.
There you go.
Coke with a splash of lime and ice.
The Cobra Libra.
Yeah, you got it. And then non-alcoholic would actually be fresh squeezed lemonade.
Fresh squeezed lemonade. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the favorite place you've traveled. And I've had the pleasure of learning some stories about what we're going to talk to about today.
Favorite place probably was Thailand. I've been to India. I've been to South America a bit. Thailand was probably the greatest place I've ever been in my entire life. And actually all of the United States. There's a couple of awesome places in the States actually that rival it, but I just wasn't there as long. So yeah, I spent about 2 months backpacking out there, a month with my now wife, girlfriend at the time, and a month completely on my own with nothing but a backpack and a pair of sandals, which I lost halfway through. So I was barefoot and grew a big old beard and lived in the jungle for a while. And yeah, had a good time.
Awesome. Okay. We got to hear one story. So you kind of, you dangled the carrot there of lost my sandals. So what's one story from Thailand?
There's so many. Let's see. There was the night that we thought we were going to die, because in Thailand, I guess they believe a lot more in spirits and like just like the spirit realm. And so there's one guy that was, you know, one of our guides that for whatever reason they thought he was possessed, and he woke up at night and started yelling and screaming, and I guess he wanted to kill one of us. And so he ran after one of the people that we were traveling with, and the other guides grabbed him and pulled him down. And like basically just like sat on him all night. And like he was like struggling for hours until he finally just like fell asleep or whatever. And we asked in the morning what had happened. They said he'd gotten possessed last night and we had to hold him down from killing you guys. I was just like, oh,
okay.
Okay. I thought he was just really drunk. He had been drinking all night. So I was just like, I think this guy's just a little rowdy. But they're like, no, he was possessed last night and he wanted to kill one of you. And I was like, all right. Well,
all right.
I'm going to go on the next tour.
Oh, wow.
There's that. There was a time I almost died. Another time I almost died. I think it was called like a white rust infection. I didn't know. I couldn't understand the doctor, but it was a blood infection of any sort anyway. And I got very flu-like. And I got these red bumps all over me that I think they turned white and hard. And I started to feel like really out of it. So I hopped on the back of a guy's motorcycle and he brought me to the hospital. And before he examined me and before he gave me some medicine, he's like, you know, this isn't legal in Canada. Can I give it to you? And I was like, dude, just do whatever you want. And he put it in my butt and gave me a little like syringe. And like within 5 minutes, I felt amazing. And he said, you know, you're young enough. You're probably fine. But what you got was in the same family as smallpox. And if you would have been older, or just like if you hadn't gotten help sooner, like, probably would have died. I was like, All right. So I had a couple like life threatening situations. At the same time, it was just like the most amazing, just like place to be and explore and live by a very different set of rules. And yeah.
Well, Art of Construction Tribe, if you haven't noticed already, this guy's got some stories and what his platform that we're going to learn all about. But what is one of your favorite hobbies or interests outside the construction arena and that we passionately call the art of construction?
I'm an avid 4x4. I've got a big old Jeep Rubicon that I put God knows how much dollars and parts and time into. And I take that thing out, especially in the summer, almost every week. So literally actually just this weekend, I was out about, 2 hours up a logging road at a hot spring, just in the middle of nowhere in the bush. And on the way back, we blew out the back. I don't know what we did. I just brought it to the shop, but we blew out the back axle and everything shifted over 6 inches. So one tire is in 6 inches, the other tire is out 6 inches. But anyway, my biggest hobby outside of work is probably 4x4ing. So took my little girl up and usually take my family camping in the woods. So
super cool. So you're out of Western Canada, but tell us the story, what led Danny Kerr to founding the Breakthrough Academy. And then we're going to go in and tell the tribe what this is all about in your story.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I never grew up in business, actually. I never grew up thinking I'd be a business owner or a businessman of any sort. Grew up actually on welfare with my mom and kind of had a very different upbringing than I think, you know, people would expect me to have, just considering the career I'm in right now. But just a funny little dyslexic kid, struggled a lot in school, failed grade 4. I had a lot of challenges at a younger age and had a family that I think was challenged with financials and just overall, like my dad was, you know, he was a drug addict and all kinds of just like issues that if you looked at my profile of who I would become, a lot of people would just say I'd probably become a criminal. So I was just surrounded by all kinds of that kind of stuff. And my dad actually eventually passed away when I was 14 and from the drugs actually that he was doing. And it woke me up quite a bit. And I think in a way that most kids don't get a chance to be shooken up at that age group. Like most of the kids at that age were worried about getting girlfriends and being cool and passing school. And I was worried about my life. And I was thinking about the bigger picture of the decisions I was making at a young age and how those affected me and my future. And yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, high school things started to get a little bit better for me, but I needed to focus. And I was, you know, a failure in school up to that point. I was used to just like flunking out in a lot of things and barely scraping by. And I had to really focus. And if I didn't, to me, it was not about just passing school and getting good grades. It was about living a life versus being a drug addict and dying on the streets. Right. So stuff got pretty real at a pretty young age, and I applied that to school at first and went from kind of being a failing student to having a 4.0 GPA. And that same mentality of like trying to figure out just how to be successful. Like I didn't have a mentor at a young age. I just had my own drive, kind of built its way into business. And when I was 18, started a painting company with a company called College Pro Painters. So it was like a student franchise that I signed up for while I was in university. And things really took off from there. This like hard work, determined, stubborn, focused human being that I'd become, suddenly like I could apply it to something. And I had a vehicle that really carried me forward. So 18 years old, had a painting business. I think I was making maybe 10 grand a month profit. So at 18, coming from poverty, that was huge. Like that changed our entire family dynamic. And I was able to support my mom and just be able to be the head of the family a little bit. And yeah, after about a couple of years of running a franchise, I ended up going to work for corporate. We basically were in charge of the franchisees at that point. So I had about 15, I think, franchisees my first year. Over the years, I built it up to where I was head of HR. So I had about 150 franchises that we would recruit and operate every single year. And I learned business through the School of Hard Knocks. I dropped out of university. I focused on this painting business and focused on the leadership side of it. And we built a pretty large organization under us for Western Canada. So I think a lot of my like just younger, like stubborn drive that I applied kind of worked out. And I found that business to be the arena to do that in. And when I was leaving College Pro, I knew there was so much value in what I'd done. Like I was very intentional not to just do this to make money and, you know, have something to do for, you know, a career. I wanted to learn and I wanted to really understand the mechanics of business and how they'd operated. And I kept having this nagging idea of like, how cool would it be to take all these franchise systems for teaching these student franchisees and just bring them to the public and create a franchise without the franchise, create a white labeled franchise. And that idea never really left me. And when I left College Pro Painters, basically that's what I started out. So it was not just me. It was me, two business partners. So I have one Igor, a guy named Igor Trinanek, another guy named James Dale, who I worked with for almost 10 years at College Pro. And we ventured off into our own and basically started what is now known as the Breakthrough Academy. So it's grown a lot over the years. We have, I think, over 300 companies that are operating under our banner right now and all being coached by our coaches. And we have about just over $900 million worth of revenue that we're managing. It's not our revenue, but it's all those members combined, what they do. And we've achieved some pretty big things. Our average, company that works with us sees about a 20% increase in revenue and about a 40% increase in net profit in their first year with us. And we've really just figured out how to model out almost like a McDonald's type system to a trades company, and they don't have to buy a franchise. They can do it all within their own brand and just utilize our resources and our guidance. So that is now what we're doing.
I genuinely appreciate that story. And your team, when we were doing the pre-interviews, they're like, his story is pretty cool. Just let him tell the story. And like, I love when thought leaders take the time to really air it out at the beginning. So thank you for that, of telling that to the Art of Construction tribe, of kind of the school of hard knocks. That's when people say, I barely got a college degree, but I was hustling myself the whole way through. And I'd say I learned a lot more for the school of hard knocks than the school of theory. Right. And so all that stuff comes together, but you have to have proven systems that work. And I've talked with some other people through the College Pro Printer system, and you can take those proven processes and put them into the trades. And if, correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of what you've done with the Breakthrough Academy, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I saw this hole in the marketplace where I was like, there's so much money in contracting, and there's so many people, young people especially, getting involved in this new market where the old guys are all retiring, young guys are coming to take it over. And they're interested in like, I want to make this a business. I don't want this to be like my parents did it, where it just consumed them and took over their life. And I was like, that's the only education I got. So I could apply that pretty easily and pretty quickly. And yeah, I just started with some friends at first, helping them out and showing them what I learned back in the day. And it's evolved so much at this point where it's beyond even me, right? I mean, I certainly know a thing or two about running a business, but just watching how our coaches are working with our members and the learning that we're having from all these companies that we develop over the years, I mean, it's taken on a life of its own. And really, it's at this point, it's just about the minds of 300 people working together towards one common goal versus just a single solo entrepreneur trying to figure it out. So it's been cool.
So you took the systems from College Pro Painters, you transitioned that into the Breakthrough Academy, or if we say BTA, we're referring to as company, the Breakthrough Academy, that you started in 2015, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And that's how it started. I mean, I would say maybe some of the DNA is still, some College Pro stuff is in there, but it's evolved quite a bit more at this point. But the initial idea was, hey, if this works to grow a student painting franchise, this should work to grow a painting company, right? Let's try it on painting businesses. Oh, this works. Let's try it on landscaping companies and roofing companies and renovation companies. And oh, there's small nuances. Okay, well, let's change those and basically build a franchise without them having to buy a franchise.
Cool. So I'm sure the Art of Construction tribe is kind of curious how that started. And I think it'd also be kind of great for as we build this story out. So what, you had mentioned the founders, but tell us about the sort of team that you assembled when you originally launched BTA.
Sure. So, but it was very, very first, obviously it was just me. And all I had was an idea. I didn't have a business card. I didn't have anything to show anybody. I just had a mouth and I was good at talking. So I called up some of my friends from my network and just see if they would pay me to spend some time to help them in their contracting company. And we set up something called the Deep Dive. And we called the room we did it in the Deep Dive Tank. It was basically just, a day with Danny. And I quickly realized like it wasn't going to be able to just be me. Like I'm good. I'm not great at a lot of things. And I brought in a business partner pretty quickly named Igor Trinanek. So within about 6 months, I had him in there with me. And he was back at College Pro. He's working with me for a lot of years. He was off on his own now too, building something called Shack Shine Window Cleaning. And they were basically building that business to franchise it. And they were right in the process of selling it actually to 1-800-GOT-JUNK, which is the world's largest junk removal company. So on the acquisition of that, Igor came in full time to Breakthrough Academy, and we were pretty dynamic duo. Like I'm the ADD entrepreneur with tons of ideas. I go out there and sell and market and bring in the masses. And he's the back end. He's building all the processes, making sure everything's systemized. He's the engineer behind a lot of this. And I'd never felt more empowered in my life to just go and do more of the sales and marketing and not have to worry about the back end, right? I think a lot of customers that we work with to this day are kind of like me. You know, they're very driven entrepreneurs with tons of ideas, but they struggle because they don't have an engineer on the back end of their organization, right? So with Igor there, like, I just piled it on. I always describe it to people like I was digging a ditch, throwing dirt behind me as fast as I possibly could, and he was putting it in nice little squares, making it all compact, right? So that was kind of the first two of us. And then within a year, you know, we needed some coaches, and we realized we needed to build a coaching team. If it was just us, you know, all it would ever become is Danny and Igor's advice, which I think a lot of contracting companies, or sorry, a lot of training companies end up doing, right? You become a trainer, you sell your services, you sell your time for money, and that's kind of the end of the game. And we saw an opportunity to systemize the coaching itself. And so we brought in a guy named James Dale, who actually used to be our boss back in the day at College Pro. He became eventually over time a 33% owner. So we're all split right down the, you know, the center for all of us. We're very even when we did that. And he drove our coaches. So we have about 9 coaches now. He's been the one who's trying to train and develop a lot of our formal, you know, training program. And our initial team was just me, James, and Igor. My first ever employee that we hired was a girl named Caitlin Kaufman, who's with us to this day. She's my assistant. And my whole mantra in the beginning was, I'm good at things. I'm not great at a lot of stuff. I'm great at like two or three things. So can I just like focus on those things and find people to surround myself with that are great at everything else? And so I really, you know, tried not to run this as a leadership, but run it very much like we all have equal say and thought and things, and especially between the 3 owners and a few key staff. I mean, I really let them drive a lot of what we do. And to this day, I'm kind of feeling a little bit more useless than I ever have in my life, because I've kind of watched them take it and run with it. And I just kind of do what they tell me at this point. So yeah,
that's cool. An interesting ride. Yeah. We just finished a whole deep dive series with Cultivate Advisors of their program, and they have some similarities to you of talking through to where you truly get to those stages as an entrepreneur. But it's really fun to hear you say how you got the right person in the right seat to where you really got into your sweet spot where you could really shine and really get that done. So you had mentioned at the beginning, you said we saw the need and we just said we're going to go all in and focus on the trades. And that's why we're honored to have your story here on The Art of Construction, because this podcast is specifically designed for contractors and its affiliates, i.e. the trades. You go back to like when I was at the podcast with the Site Shed, and they call them tradies. It's funny how different places in the around the globe what people call subcontractor trades is. But basically, it's the Art of Construction tribe and the Breakthrough Academy tribe. That's what I was so pumped to have Danny come in and share our story together and see where this goes. But why did you focus on Breakthrough Academy for the trade specifically when you launched this thing?
I mean, initially it was literally just the logic of that's where my background is, right? If I spent, you know, nearly 10 years in the contracting space, why would I try and talk about something I don't know as much about? I did recognize and understand that if you want to coach people, or if you want to build a training program, you can be a generalist and try and capture everybody, or you can be a specialist and get right down to the nitty gritty of every little aspect of their organization, because you understand it to the nth level. And there was a pastor actually, when I was just starting this, that was speaking at a thing called LeaderCast that I was at. And what he basically said, he said, what do you believe? What is it that everybody believes that is impossible to do, but if done would fundamentally change your industry forever? And to me, what that meant was I looked at the training industry as, so there's contracting and there's training. There's kind of like two industries I'm looking at while I'm doing this, but I'm like, I'm looking at the training industry and I'm like, it's super corrupt. Everyone's an expert. Everyone thinks they know everything about, you know, whatever, and they sell people stupid, ridiculous packages that they have no ability to back up, and they have no real experience to the minutia that they should be doing to talk about these things to this level. And I didn't agree with the thought of trying to be a business expert in a generalist way, but I really saw an opportunity to be like, especially for painting in the beginning, I was like, I know everything about running a painting business. I know everything about hiring, training, developing the financials, the margins, the percentages, the tracking files, I know everything about it. So let's just do that and see how we do, right? And the people we worked with grew quickly. I remember, you know, one of our first guys, Dunbar Painting, we brought him from about $350,000 when I met him to, I think he's doing about just about $2 million now, right? And everything that I knew to the nth degree, I just walked him through. And as we started to do that, we started to notice, you know, this is very similar to landscaping. renovations. And actually, renovations are a little different. We had to do some learning on that one, but there was some similarities there. You know, plumbing, HVAC, and we started to build out our silos as we grew, but we didn't want to leave contracting. We figured, you know, at the end of the day, this industry is very under-professionalized. There are very few leaders leading this thing properly. And we could try and be in a busy space and try and be someone we're not by whatever, selling online marketing or do what everyone else does. Or we could go a different direction where there's not much noise. And there's not much confusion. You know, I think a lot of people in our space right now teach sales and marketing. We teach operations, right? We when everyone's going left, we often go right and try and go into a place where there's an untapped marketplace and ultimately a huge need. And also just so happened to be my background, which was super convenient.
I love that. You know, the riches are in the niches and you got to spend in, you know, the 10,000 hours. That's like, I'm here in Denver. And when Peyton Manning came in and won the Super Bowl, it's like he came in and knew everything about it and how to audible and just had the right systems to rock and roll. And that's what I think you're talking about is you'd put in the 10,000 hours. You knew the riches are in the niches, but then you got a team to help you put that all together. So let's get into it. Tell us about your program and your system. And is that, you know, the exact same now as when you launched BTA or how has it evolved? Kind of let's tell me how it works. What is this program all about? And tell me about those trips too. That looked pretty cool.
Sure. We have a lot of fun. So if you want to describe it from a very high level, it's very well-developed content with very well-developed coaching and a really epic, fun community, right? So each thing I'll break down, but like the content is everything that like most people don't have the time, patience, or often the ability to build, right? So I talk to a lot of our contractors and they download their job descriptions off Google and they try and rip off someone else's standard operating procedures, or they try and sit down in front of a Word file and type it up themselves. And it's 10 pages long. And they're like, I think that's everything. But there's so much like paperwork to build for your business. And that's often not their thing. It's not their skill. And nor is it anything they ever want to do. So they hear these things like work on your business and they don't even know where to get started. Or you go to a course and they say, you need job descriptions, but they don't really know the minutia of what that actually should look like. So early on, especially with Igor being my business partner, I just said to him, man, can we just build this for them? And I said, like, I'm not the guy to build it even because I can't. I'm also one of these people that can't build this from scratch. But if I paced around in a room between you and my ideas, can we just build this like actually, like as if it was a franchise we were going to sell to somebody and then start to distribute it out to them? So we did. And to this day, it's still, we have a content team of four that are basically full-time and all they do is build content and then how-to videos that go along with it. And we have a studio that basically we film everything where we walk everybody through every document, every idea, every training session. And we realized too, in doing this, we don't have to sell our time for money as much anymore because we can give the same amount of value, but build something once extremely well to what lasts this test of time versus just having it be Danny Migor's advice every single week, right? So the content library is massive. There's probably been the upwards of over a million. I know it's over a million. I don't know what the exact numbers anymore, but let's say $1 to $2 million spent on people's time and money building this library out. And we basically have all the content someone's going to need. Now, what we did is we built it as a completed version. So that you have like a 60-page manual on how to be a project manager for a construction company, fully done. But then people are like, well, I need to customize that because it's my company's a little different. So we create right alongside with it a Word document where we highlight in yellow all the specifics someone would want to customize so that they can make it their own. So that's like the first piece, and it comes along with documents, how-to videos, walkthroughs, and it's a complete knowledge library. And the naivety of us was like, great, we're going to build this and then we're going to give it to people and they're not going to need it any of our time. It's going to be great. And of course, that's not the case. You can give someone the complete, you know, playbook on how to be a billionaire and very few people will actually figure it out. So the next stage, which we were already kind of doing organically, but we thought we'd do less of over time. We're actually doing more of it over time is coaching. You know, it's important for people to understand what these things actually mean and the minutiae and get their specific questions answered so they can feel confident to implement the stuff properly. And so we started just with us doing the coaching. We obviously brought in James to take on a lot of the coaching after about a year. And now we have about 9 coaches full-time that manage the 300 companies that we work with. So most coaches are paired with between 20 to 40 people and 20 to 40 companies. And their sole job is to make sure that they're successful. We track all their metrics live in the cloud. So we basically can see their sales, their production, their financials, all their KPIs, all their key metrics. And we can see every 2 weeks as they're getting updated, how they're doing. And we can see things like your gross profit margins are falling by 3% on your last six jobs. And Johnny's the one that's working on that. And let's talk to you about how to do training with him. You know, your sales ratios are great, but your average job size is dropping because you're going to smaller marketplaces, or your sales guys are trying to book smaller jobs due to COVID, just trying to book a job. You need to do more quotes. We need to get you more leads. Here's some lead gen strategies to do that with. So we can get very proactive with the strategies of our members and really guide them down a path of not just implementing systems, but managing the organization properly. And our coach's job is to help them do that, essentially. And then the last thing that kind of came out of it was this community. And the first time I ever really saw it was, we had about, I think it was about 15 or 20 companies at the time. We're about a year into business. And I was like, let's take everyone to Whistler, Canada. And let's like go snowmobiling and snowboarding and just have a good old time and see what comes out of it. And I remember shaking the first night because the testimonials of the people that were there, the camaraderie that was built, like the fun that we had. I was like, this is literally like one of my most fun trips I've ever been on. And it's literally in my own backyard with just people that we've been working with all year. And I watched as it went from us coaching them to them working with each other and helping and developing each other and providing almost arguably more value for each other than even we were doing in our program. And it was because there was an incredible amount of trust. Everyone we had brought in had similar values and they wanted to see their businesses do well, but they also wanted to see each other's businesses do well just as much. And I realized we got to make this community thing a part of what we do. So we do, well, it's because of COVID less right now, but we're trying to do about 4 trips a year, 1 a quarter, everything from a winter summit where we take, you know, 200 people up and go snowmobiling and dog sled racing and ice climbing and all kinds of cool stuff mixed with a strategic planning day in the hotel where we build a 1-page strategic plan and do basically a round robin kind of like feedback review from their peers. We have a mastermind session where we fly everybody out to specific offices of some of our top members that are all industry specific to each other. So they're all in the same industry and get them to help each other. We have a summer retreat where we do all kinds of different stuff. You know, one of the best ones I love is we took 60 guys and we helicoptered them to the back end of this thing called the Iloho River. And we basically 3 days rafted down and camped on the side of the riverbank and talked business the whole time. And then we have, for anyone who refers us, a referral adventure trip where we've done things usually like hunting and logging and fishing, kind of go to a camp to do that. But just recently we did a house build and we used all the money to fly about 50 people out to build 2 houses in Mexico in 3 days. And not only was it awesome and an amazing experience, and I think it changed a lot of these contractors' view of what it means to make money and their responsibility as leaders, but it was also just a really cool bonding experience for all of us. And I think our team got a lot closer. I brought all my staff out as well. And it was a game changer for a lot of people. So that's what we do, man.
Wow. I'm hooked. What a cool deal. Super cool, man. Yeah. And then talk about an authentic third party testimonial that I would love to have some more conversations around that. Cause it's just like you've built this tribe, as we call it on the Art of Construction, your community, to where you're giving them the tools, but then you're all using that structure. And then the riches are in the niches where you're now taking these masterminds to where they're not competing, but doing the same things to where there's not a lot of stuff that's brand new anymore. It's taking that and making it your own. And then having enough time and money, the two things we don't have enough of, to go have a fun trip, to really enjoy why you do what you do. And when I hear you tell these stories, I've heard you tell them a few times, it's not just about what's in it for me. It's about why do I get out of bed in the morning? And then what is this all about? So I think at the end of the day, like that's what I feel the Art of Construction tribe and why this movement we're creating is what people are all about, right? So what kind of growth have you seen since you launched this in 2015 based on that?
It was exponential for a few years. So we were doubling or more than doubling the company for a while. We've slowed that exponential growth because our baseline is obviously fairly large, but from a members perspective, I think we're at around 20 members our first year, about 100 our second year, about 200 our third year, about 260 or something, I think our fourth year. We're just doing our fifth year. We'll be at around, I think we're going to be around 320-ish by the end of this year. So it's quite a few companies. And the companies that we work with have been larger and larger, and the companies we started with are still around. They've been growing quite a bit. You know, it's actually interesting. Of the 20 companies I think we started with in that first year, I'm pretty sure about 6 or 7 are still with us to this day. So super just cool. Under half, all cool businesses. Like, you know, Paul McDonald, if he's listening, like It was 500 grand when I met him. He's, you know, I think he's over 2 million now, multiple trucks, running a fairly large business. And he actually donates half his profits to charity. Of what he makes after he pays his salary goes towards charity. And the amount that he's donated over the years has just been incredible. Actually, I met him at his charity speaking there. I just never knew where some of these things would go, right? And you hear stories of guys that are just like, you have no idea. Like, my whole life's changed. My life with my kids and my wife and my enjoyment of everything I'm doing is just on another level. So we've grown a lot ourselves. I mean, we went from obviously, you know, a very small business to, you know, multi-million dollars and climbing. And the members we work with as well have equally just grown with us. And it's kind of like we're all locking arms and just on this little party together, trying to help each other grow. So
super cool, man. So what's next for BTA?
Lots. So we have a fairly clear mandate that we want to make sure we're always focused on the professionalization of the industry and making sure that the contractor has basically a space to help with that, like to grow themselves and to basically be a bigger part of the industry, not just in their own business. So what we do is we pool money, right? So the money that we charge our customers doesn't just go into our pockets and our team salaries. We use a lot of it to reinvest into new initiatives and ideas. So our first big thing was documenting the entire process and manual library for every single process that could be in an industry. So we've got that about 60% done right now, and we're continuing to build that out. We've got some of our coaches, part-time, of their job is basically to fill out complete project management processes for large scale construction, complete project management processes for landscaping, same thing for painting. And we're basically building like industry playbooks for like how to run your entire business and giving every template and tool you will ever need. So that's about 60% done and still on the road to being finished. What we're going to do with that when it is done is we're going to house it into a piece of technology. So it's one thing to have all these as PDF and Word files that hang out in Google Drive or Dropbox. It's another thing to be able to have it in a piece of technology that can be deployed so that you can say, hey, I've got a new, you know, field worker or a new project manager or a new sales manager. And then off your org structure, you just establish that new role that then emails that person their entire training manual, their job description and everything. They sign off on it. And then you have a live tracking of all their key metrics on a dashboard where you can see how they're doing. And then where they need improvements, you send them basically checklists and training files basically to go through, and they check off as they're going through each thing, how things are getting done. And right down to the field technician, where they can show up at a job site, and through, we're hoping it'll be through picture taking. They can take a picture saying that, you know, we've set up the job site, we finished the prep phase, we finished, you know, the first coat or whatever it would be. And the owner can have live feed into every job site to see how things are going and how the checklists are being executed on. And then anything that there's questions on, you can click on it and it'll give you a complete SOP on how to complete that part of the job. So we want to feed all of this into a piece of technology and software that doesn't compete as a CRM system or project management software, but fills this extra void that's not being properly, you know, filled in, to the stage in the industry. So
I love that. And that's where we talk with a lot of leaders like you. And my whole premise is to connect these different construction technologies to handshakes. But to do that, you have to have these guides and put that together. It can't just be a video game and a bunch of documents hanging all over the place. So that's super cool. We'll definitely put information on the show notes, how to get in touch with you and to follow all those movements that you're doing. But we always ask, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction based on that thing?
Get ready for automation, and in a big way, right? So we're seeing it obviously with automotive and a lot of other just factory driven jobs that are getting replaced by robots and by automation through AI. And although it's not fully entered the construction industry yet, it will start to. And we'll obviously see it first in the driving jobs. But I think that what people need to be aware of is that if you're not efficient as a contractor and everything is all old school, you will eventually get wiped out because you will not be as efficient as your competitors. And it'll start with technology. It'll start with processes and tracking and, you know, basically efficiency on hours with staff and accountability and a lot of things we teach to this day. But it's going to get more and more intense as the years go on. And then we'll figure out a way to print the side of a house with a paint, with a, you know, either a drone or a scaffolding that just paints the house in like 20 minutes, right? Versus like hours of manual labor. And I think those things will start to pop up more and more in the future. And I think it starts with just being aware within your business. Are you using technology to its best degree to be efficient with your tracking? Are you able to, you know, work with your people in a way where there's a lot more of a system that they're operating under and decreasing inefficiencies? Because if you look at the contracting space, there's more money in it than most industries. Actually, I think in Canada, this was a few years ago, I heard this, but in Canada, that renovations was the number one industry above forestry, above massive industries that we have. And the amount of money that's circulating in that and the amount of lack of professionalization that we deal with every day is mind-boggling. And that's, that gap is closing every year. There's more and more people coming to the marketplace, solving problems, making obviously their cut of profit off of it and making the industry better as a result. So just, I would just say, like, watch out for the automation side of it and make sure that you're trying to be as efficient as possible as a contractor. So,
well, tell us how you guys have done some cool stuff as the leaders of the Art of Construction Tribe. If people are interested in learning more about the Breakthrough Academy, we'll make sure we put all this in the show notes. But if you're listening to this and want to just Google it, what's the best way to get in touch with you and any offers you guys have put together for the Art of Construction Tribe to learn more about the Breakthrough Academy?
Cool. So yeah, generally if you check out our website, it's btacademy.com, B as in Bravo, T as in Tango, and academy.com. If you want some free resources or want to book a strategy session, go to btacademy.com/strategy session. They'll ask you for a code. It's AOC. And from there, you can basically book in a time with us. We'll sit down with you one-on-one and see where we can help you, as well as we're going to give you a free download with about 70 different things you should probably consider building into your organization. And it'll just make you pretty aware of all the systems and basically management structure things that you could be building in that are available. So that'd be a huge help, I think, to anyone who grabs that. If you ever want to chat with me directly, you can go to my, or you can email me at danny@thebtacademy.com. So that'd be it. Another net should be all in the show notes for those who are listening, and a lot easier just to click on those links than remember everything I just said.
Awesome. Well, Danny, thank you so much for coming and telling us your story. Art of Construction is honored to be affiliated with you guys. Such cool stuff you're doing, and can't wait to keep the conversations going and bring the Art of Construction Tribe, the right members, into the Breakthrough Academy as we put all this stuff together. But we always ask when we get thought leaders like you that have taken a business and went out and crushed it, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates thinking about to go out and crush it and grow their business?
I think everyone's feeling this right now in the marketplace. It's a lot of it's about people right now. It's hard to find good people. It's hard to lead good people. It's hard to create, you know, employees that will stick around and drive the organization for the long term, so the owner can pull away enough to actually build the business properly, right? So if there was one thing I would say is in 2008, you know, Devin, what were we in the recession of? What was everyone trying to get more of that was, we were lacking?
People.
People. Well, 2008 was the recession of actually work.
You're right.
Right. But we're currently, what you just said, we're currently in the recession of people in a bigger way than I think any of us expected. And it's only getting worse over time. And I really just encourage everyone, you know, something we focus on a lot on at the Breakthrough Academy is recruiting, training, hiring, operating, right? The recruit, train, operate model is what we call it. And the better you can get at finding good people, interviewing them effectively, onboarding them, training them properly, the better your business can do long-term. But if you've kind of like just focused on sales and marketing all the time and just, you know, hoping, you know, production works itself out over time, you're going to notice it's going to get harder and harder and harder in the future. And so just slow down a bit, think through what is it going to take to hire 3 or 4 amazing people this next year that can be with me for 5 to 10 years. What does that actually look like to focus in on, you know, finding those applications, interviewing those types of people, building in and training them over time? And a lot of people have fear around this because, like, well, if I build into somebody and they just leave me, like, what am I going to do? It's like, that's the risk you got to take. And this is something we build in and work with a lot of our members on just to help them do it right the first time so they get it done and get the people in to help them run their business long term and not be on this constant hamster wheel of rinse, wash, and repeat of new people that don't work out. So
awesome. Thanks so much, Danny, for coming and telling us your story.
Thanks, Devin. Awesome. No worries.
Art of Construction Tribe, if you're out there wondering, what can I do to break through and take my business to the next level? And as we're always talking about on this podcast, how do I have as much fun as possible? I think you just heard the story. So go do what you do best. For me, a window and door company. For you, is it landscaping? Is it an architect? Is it that? Go do that best and go get the right help to do all this other stuff that if you don't do that well, it doesn't matter what you do best. I'm super pumped about what Danny and his team are doing and that we're affiliated with them. Go check it out. Give them a try. Go to their website. Check out those videos because I can tell you one thing. This COVID stuff sucks. But this will change too, and we'll get back to rafting and growing and sitting around and having fireside chats, not just through podcast and audio, but in person as well. So go check out the Breakthrough Academy. Keep crushing out there. Stay positive. We got this. Cheers.